Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I appreciate you being here today. I would encourage you, if you are listening to this as a podcast, go check us out. We've got a YouTube channel. Most of my most recent interviews are now posted as videos, so you can check them out, see who it is that we're interviewing. You can kind of get a flavor for what's going on. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to this as a podcast. Wherever you are, I appreciate you being here. Today, my interview is with Sandy Rodriguez. She is a bilingual communications expert. She is the author of a motivational book called Choose to Prevail. She is a former editor of one of the most influential publications in Latin America and is now a Los Angeles court interpreter as well as an artist and an amateur winemaker. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rob, and thank you for that lovely introduction. I'm a big fan of your show. I've listened to it as a podcast. I've seen it on YouTube, and absolutely everybody should subscribe. That's definitely the case.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the feedback and appreciate the encouragement. So let's just jump into this. I'd love to hear kind of your backstory. When you're down and you're the editor of a publication for down in Latin America, tell me about that. Tell me what you were doing and how that was going.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you, I worked for a newspaper by the name of Reforma for the longest of times. I worked for that newspaper for around 16 years, ever since I was nearly fresh out of college, not quite, but almost. And it was a wonderful time in my life. I was originally hired as a co-editor for the fashion section and the food section, but somehow things just started growing and growing and growing. And I held a number of different positions within that organization over the course of the years. Toward the end, and for several years toward the end, what I was doing was that I was in charge of what we called supplements, which were basically small magazines or mini magazines. I was in charge of maybe 50 titles, if not more, over the course of a year. And these titles would include supplements about every kind of topic you can possibly picture, Rob. That might have included architecture, female entrepreneurs, the environment, senior citizens issues, all kinds of things. I also had the chance to edit or co-edit an entertainment magazine, which was weekly. I did a number of things. And actually, throughout the time that I was there at Reforma, I really got to delve into so many different topics. There was another time that I held a very interesting position called Special Projects Coordinator, which meant that I would work as a liaison between different departments and help, let's say, younger reporters or younger editors work on journalistically ambitious projects that would require a lot of interactions between teams. So it was really quite fascinating. I mean, throughout the time that I was there, there was never a dull moment. It was a wonderful time, really.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a wide variety of experience in that, and you're dealing with all kinds of different topics. What made you then decide to make the switch from being in the editor and kind of being in the receiving role for writing to actually becoming a writer and to become expressive in that way?
Well, let me tell you, I can't say that my experience was similar to other people's that are looking to make career switches. I see that a lot of people say, I feel, you know, stuck in a rut in my job. I'm not happy. I need to make a shift in some way. In my case, Rob, it was quite the opposite. I was extremely happy. I can't say that I wasn't. It was a wonderful job. It was something that was very much in line with things that I enjoy. For instance, it was a very high stress, high pressure situation, but I thrive on that. So for me, it was like a perfect fit, a perfect match. But here's the thing. I did realize eventually that although I was very happy and very fulfilled from a career standpoint, I was making a number of trade-offs. For instance, during the time that I was working for Reforma, I experienced or underwent the untimely death of my father and the definitely untimely death of my younger brother. So certainly those were things that they shook me, certainly. And I thought, well, I'm not able to spend time or more time with people that I really would like to spend more time with. Let me give you another example. I had, for instance, my best friend. He was a guy that was in a very similar career situation as myself. And although we were and still are the best of friends, we would see each other maybe a handful of times a year. So, I mean, that's not necessarily the most normal of situations. And it was not just that way for me. All of my coworkers that were in similar positions, we were doing that kind of thing. It wouldn't be unusual for us to, and I'm not even exaggerating, to show up at work with holes in our shoes because we didn't have time to buy new shoes, or we might be, chopping off our own hair with scissors because we didn't have time to go to the stylist, or, the glamorous world of journalism. No, I mean, it was really, it was a time where I can't, when I say that I had no time for anything else, I'm not even talking about, oh, spa days or pedicures. No, even the most basic of things. Let me give you another example. Throughout the time that I was there, I became a mom, a single mom, by choice, because certainly I had no time, literally, to date or establish any kind of a relationship because we were at our desk. I mean, all the time. We would be working 14-hour days, 16-hour days, and beyond. And certainly, I didn't want to outsource the care of my lovely child exclusively to nannies or rely exclusively on family members or anything of the sort. So that was the main driver in my choosing to migrate over to a totally different career. Although I have to say, Rob, that it wasn't as straightforward as it might seem. So my first idea was to move to a city that was more relaxed and laid back than Mexico City. And I chose LA by, well, for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's still a city. I'm a city person, but it's infinitely more laid back. It's a much quieter, smaller city. So that is, firstly, that's an upside for me, from my point of view. And the thing also is that when I got here, finding a job, that was interesting and that was something that was in line with what I enjoy doing was a little bit challenging because of one very specific reason. And people that work in media, perhaps people that are familiar with media, such as yourself, can relate. This was at a particular point in time when the blogosphere was exploding and people were creating excellent content for free. So certainly there was less of an incentive for media outlets to hire people like myself, that we were very experienced in, let's say, content creation, editing, and such. But we did require a salary that would allow us to make a living. So I did get a lot of opportunities that were interesting from a creative standpoint, but they were definitely not going to be a career path that I could follow because, well, I mean, people do need to make a living. So eventually I fell into, I would say, court interpreting, and it was a godsend. I find it fascinating, Rob. In fact, if any of your listeners are bilingual, trilingual, or very, very, that they speak more than one language with total comfort and ease, that's a very, very interesting career choice to look into. It wasn't even on my radar, but once I discovered it, I thought, why wasn't it? I mean, it's fascinating. So
Sure.
that's what.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, I come at this from a slightly different perspective. I'm coming from the disability side of things, and so I'm familiar with, getting the American Sign Language interpreters, that how important that is. And I would imagine that it's got to be extremely fulfilling, because especially in a legal situation where you have people who may or may not understand the charges that are being brought against them, may or may not be able to communicate what was going on with them, and you're there to be able to facilitate that and to make sure that people are receiving the best defense that they can receive, and that they're understanding exactly what's going on. That's got to be very fulfilling.
it's interesting all around. I used to work originally at a criminal courthouse, which is quite interesting, but then I requested a transfer to a civil courthouse, which I find even more interesting. It's fascinating. No matter who it is that you're interpreting for, be it quote unquote the good guy or be it quote unquote the bad guy. And I mean, of course, I'm being just very, very flip that way, but
Understood.
in reality, it is very fascinating. You get to hear very interesting stories. You get to help people no matter what it is that they're trying to express. But most importantly, and the reason I think it might be a very good career choice for many people that might be listening, is this. In most types of career, or even when it comes to hobbies, you do something now and you experience the rewards sometime in the future. For instance, if you're writing a book, you might do that now and it might be published a year from now. If you are a pastry chef, you might bake a pie right now, but you will be actually sitting down to eat it or serve it to friends within a few hours. If you're doing, I don't know, medical research, maybe you're working on something now and the fruits of your labor will be seen in decades, if at all. But when it comes to interpreting, you're doing things right then and there. It's very much in the now, to put it in very succinct terms.
Sure.
And it's fascinating. I have never come across any other type of activity. I'm guessing maybe if you were a sports announcer, that would be a similarity because you're doing something in the moment. But in all honesty, Rob, I think it's just very fascinating to be able to do something and be fulfilled as you're doing it. And the moment you're done. It's over. There's nothing to take home. There's nothing to overthink. It's done. So it's interesting.
Yeah. So there's a couple things I want to kind of talk about that you mentioned through this. And that is, first of all, to mention that, that LA is just a smaller city and it's a little bit more laid back. Of course, everything in the Northern Hemisphere is smaller than Mexico City because it's just the biggest city around. And for most of us, I'm in Pittsburgh and, I think Pittsburgh and the surrounding area may have like 1 million people. And Los Angeles to us is, to me, it's a huge city. And you're like, yeah, it's a little bit smaller, which makes it nicer. That's very interesting. But you're also talking about making a transition in your career. And it's not only moving out, it's moving to a new city and it's moving to a new area of work. You're going from the editing business going into court reporting. When people are talking about doing something new, making a career shift, does it have to, what happens if they're looking for a smaller shift? Do you have some suggestions for them?
A smaller shift than the one that I actually carried out, I think that would be most likely the norm because I think I did everything at the same time. I moved to a new city, a new country, new job, new situation. It really was very much in a sense, even though I had lived in the US as a child, it was a very different experience. And to a certain degree, it was also a fish out of water story because living in a place as a child and living in a place as an adult are two entirely different things. And even smaller details that I might encounter throughout the course of a day might trip me up. For example, even minor things like pumping gas. In Mexico City, you do not pump your own gas. So again, here it was like, okay, everybody knows how to do this thing, but I don't. So it was just a number of little things. But I think that anybody that wants to create any kind of a shift in their careers can do it in a very seamless manner, or at least in a more seamless manner than other people might, simply by planning it out. It doesn't seem reasonable to me to just step into your office today and say, okay, I'm giving you my 2 weeks' notice, I'm leaving. Unless there were some very, very pressing reason, maybe health concerns or something that would require you to do that. But if that's not the case, I think that planning things out in a more strategic fashion would make things so much more seamless. For instance, let's say that you plan to leave your job. Firstly, I think you could kind of establish a deadline for doing so in your head. You don't even have to share that with anybody. You might just have it as a personal plan. And use the time between now and then to put all of your affairs in order. Maybe if there are projects that you need to complete at work, we'll certainly do that because, of course, you don't want to burn any bridges. You want to make everything, also seamless for your employer because, again, that's also quite important. You might also start building a small amount of savings. Not to say that you need an extreme amount of savings, and certainly in this day and age, it might not be very doable, but you do need some money in place so that at least initially, while you're searching, if you don't have something already lined up, you don't want to put yourself at risk, and certainly not if you're, for instance, a parent. You don't want to be, out on the streets or anything like that. So you do need to have a little bit of leeway in that regard. Then certainly you need to start doing things that will ease the transition. For example, let's say that you want to move to another city or country like I did. What I did when I was doing this kind of like already in my head and planning it out is that I would travel to LA, say, a couple of times a month to start doing things such as opening a bank account or figuring out where I might want to live or maybe getting a driver's license here in California, that kind of thing, because you don't want to just suddenly step into a new city and have all of this on your plate while also searching for a job. It would be overwhelming. I mean, I did everything in very small increments. I tried to do it in a strategical way as possible, and it was still to some degree overwhelming. So I definitely would urge people to take it some, in smaller baby steps. Now, even if you're going to do this within your own city, I also wouldn't think that it would make sense to just say, okay, bye, I'm leaving. No, I think it would also make sense to start, finding, if not actually applying for jobs, if not actually sending out resumes because you might be concerned that your employer would be, turned off if you were starting to do that very openly. At least you can start talking to friends, saying you might be interested in exploring other options. You can start doing things even before you're out the door. And also, you need to give your employer, at least in my perspective, not really 2 weeks' notice, but you need to be even more flexible. For instance, I remember when I told my employer that I really wanted to leave and that I was planning to do so, they did require me to stay on for, I believe it was 2 or 3 additional months, and I was more than happy to. You do need to be flexible there, especially if you have been more established in your career, if you need to train somebody to do your job, if you need to do something, whatever it is that your employer is requiring, I would definitely urge you to do so unless there's a pressing reason, unless you already have a new job and they're expecting you there. It's best never, ever, ever to burn any bridge because, again, even though you say I'm moving into a different field, you never know. I mean,
Sure.
things have, it's always best. I mean, if there is such a thing as karma, you want the best possible karma. So definitely you need to be very, very careful in doing that and always be grateful for the time that you spent.
Sure. Do you have any advice for people who may be having to make a shift not by choice? So right now, with everything that's going on, we've got a pandemic. And now people who were in a, were in a certain career that may have dried up and there may be some issues there. You even have, from a government perspective, you have the ban on some of the fracking and different things where now people who were doing these careers are going to have to transition into a different career. Do you have some advice for people who just don't have a choice and are having to pivot based on external circumstances?
Absolutely, Rob. Well, firstly, the thing is not to panic. I mean, certainly. I mean, I can absolutely relate with that experience, not because I have lost a job through no fault of my own, but because I did walk away from a career and it wasn't like immediate. It wasn't like I went from being gainfully employed to in Mexico to finding the court interpreting career. There was certainly a period of unemployment in between, and I certainly relate with how stressful that can be. So certainly during that time, Of course, you need to not panic. You need to see how you can cut your expenses down to the bare minimum. Maybe look into alternative sources of income, which could be from renting out a room as an Airbnb or something that will give you a little bit more comfort while searching for something else. I can imagine that you might agree to take on. And again, I don't know anybody that has done this, but I'm just thinking that it might be a choice, maybe doing some Uber or some Lyft driving in the meantime. You just don't want to be terrified because there is zero income coming in while you're searching. Now, while you're searching for your next step, and again, I understand that this is a very different situation because it might have come out of left field. It might be something that really was not something you were planning. The thing here is to bear in mind that often things that seem terrible in the moment might eventually lead to a positive outcome. And again, this is not to say that this will always happen and that horrible things always happen for a reason. No, of course not. But it often does happen that something that might be perceived as a challenge can actually lead to something way better. Now, here's the thing. Maybe this is the time to explore a career path that you had always wanted to, but you couldn't really because you had been tied down to your previous career. Or maybe you will discover something that you like better, or maybe it will turn out that you're better suited for self-employment. Maybe it turns out that you're a fabulous entrepreneur. Maybe you hadn't tapped into a skill that you had, such as public speaking or sales, and maybe it hadn't even crossed your mind. So it can be a time for self-discovery. It can be a time for experimentation. And I know that it sounds like, well, that sounds like a little bit out there. Maybe people are just, terrified and horrified and depressed because this happened, that they just lost their job. Of course, it's horrible. And you cannot be dismissive of their feelings. But still, out of something really bad or bad in the moment, something good can come. There is a mystic from Barbados. This is maybe going a little bit into woo-woo territory, but I do think that there's a little value in this. So this mystic from Barbados is an author by the name of Neville Goddard. He used to live in LA a few decades ago, and he used to address audiences. And he used to have this very specific message, which is that if you can feel the reality of a desired outcome, let's say, for example, that you can feel yourself, almost taste yourself having your dream job as having your dream job, feeling as if it is a reality right now. And I say job because we're talking about careers right now, but it could be anything. If you can feel the reality of having, I don't know, the marriage of your dreams or the home of your dreams or achieving a specific athletic goal, whatever it is, if you can actually feel that that is the reality, he believed that the world would somehow lead you through what he called a bridge of incidents, leading you to your goal. Now, what he meant by bridge of incidents is that sometimes a chain of events, however unrelated they might seem, might lead you to the desired goal. Like, for instance, let's say that in your mind, you had always dreamed of, I don't know, having a beautiful home, for example, and it just hadn't come to pass. Well, maybe step one is you lose your job. Step two is that for whatever reason, you meet somebody that's in real estate. And then for whatever reason, you start flipping houses. And then eventually it comes to happen that you find the home that you had always dreamed of. Of course, that's being very optimistic, perhaps. But I think that I have seen enough examples of this whole bridge of incidents theory in my own life to believe that there is at least some truth to it. And even if we take out the woo factor and focus only on the idea of bridges of incidents or chains of incidents leading us to a better outcome or a better place, I think that's also a real thing. Let me tell you a story that actually happened to me, and maybe your listeners can also think of something that has happened in their lives that is similar. When I was looking for employment here in LA, again, it wasn't immediate that I found court interpreting. There was a lag, definitely. So during that time, there was a point when I was growing a little bit desperate. I was thinking, okay, the money is running out and time is running out and we need to get on this. And around that time, Rob, I was invited to interview for a job that was tremendously tempting. It was a very, very appealing position at one of those streaming platform companies, a big, big name that would be immediately recognizable. And I thought, wow, that would be fantastic. I would really love that job. Now, as I went down the list of requirements, I have to say that I feel that I checked all the boxes except for one. They wanted me to have specific knowledge in a specific, in a very specific, let's say, tech heavy area, and that was something that I really did not know. So I was very forthcoming. I told the company I would love to interview. It sounds tremendously tempting, but there's one requirement that I honestly do not fill. And they said, "Oh, we don't mind. That's something you can learn easily over time once you're here. We do want you to interview." So I did, and I went through rounds and rounds of interviews, every time meeting with people higher up on the corporate ladder. At the end, I was informed that it was just down to two people, some other guy and myself. And I was positive that I would get that job. There was really no question about that. In fact, the last day that I had an interview there, I was greeted by this whiteboard that said, "Welcome, Sandy." And I had a very nice spread of food, and I was eating with the person that would have been my boss had I joined the company. So I was absolutely positive that that would be, my next career move. I was certain. I mean, it was not even a question. However, a couple of days after, I got an email saying that no, that it was they decided to go in the other direction, and it was the other person that got the job. Now, I was a little bit crushed, but more than that, I was surprised because I had actually thought that I would be the chosen one. And I thought, okay, that's terrible. But now looking back on this, Rob, if I had gotten that job, it would have been awful. Firstly, because that little thing that I didn't know yet would have been, honestly, not just a minor issue, it would have been something very challenging. And I can tell you, understanding a new company culture, understanding the ins and outs of a new city, a new country, that was difficult enough without piling on the added stress of learning a technical thing that really seemed tremendously complicated. And if I had actually gone into that, firstly, it would have been the exact same situation that I had been experiencing in Mexico, which would have been 16-hour days. And also, right, I wouldn't have discovered the career path that I'm on right now, which I adore. I mean, I'm happier. So it was for the best, you know?
But so I want to highlight something. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, you'll notice that when she was speaking, I actually hit my touched my nose, and it's my go-to move here at the house when someone's talking about something and I believe that they have literally hit it on the nose. That's where we are. And you said that when we're going through experiences that we sometimes view as negative experiences, that there are positives that can come out of those. And how many times do we sit down afterwards and we're able to tell the story? And the story is, I went through this, and then I went through this, and now this is where I am. And I don't think that I would have got here if I hadn't been through all of these other experiences. Sandy, thank you so much for sharing your story. If people are looking to find out more about you, if they're looking to find out about your book, where can they find that?
Okay, the book is very easy to purchase on Amazon. The title of the book is Choose to Prevail, and I just happen to have a copy here for our YouTube friends. Yes, so it's available on Amazon, Choose to Prevail by Sandy Rodriguez. It's also available pretty much everywhere that books are sold. You can find it at barnesandnoble.com, target.com, Walmart ebooks, smaller bookshops. I've even seen it on eBay Australia, so I mean, definitely, people will be able to find it with ease. But I also wanted to mention for Rob's listeners that we are working, my team and I are working on a video series based on interviewing people that have overcome challenges in their life. That can be challenges as to their career or romance or finance or health or in any regard. It's going to be linked to the book. There's a little bit of a tie-in there. And if any of Rob's listeners would care to submit themselves as guests for the video show, that would be fantastic. They can find information about that at heartofhollywoodmagazine.com, and we would be delighted to hear stories from anyone who cares to join us.
Fantastic. I will put a link to that down in the show notes. I'll make sure to include a link to the book and all that. So fantastic. Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate you sharing. I appreciate that. I hope that this is something that my listeners have learned from. We are at three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
I hope I can establish my humanity, Rob. Hopefully, I'll be able to.
What is the accomplishment of your child that you are most proud of?
I think that if I had been able to tinker with genes and create the son of my dreams, I would have made this exact child. He's exactly the way that I would like him to be. And one of the things that I like is this. His name is a name in Italian and Spanish that means, in English, it would mean honest or frank or straightforward. And that is what his personality is like. He is polite, he is diplomatic, but he is very straightforward. He is very sincere. He is very honest and open. And I think that's one of the things that I like the best.
Fantastic. What can make you really angry?
Well, I think that I'm normally a very easygoing person, but when I get angry, I really do. And I think that one of the things that make me angrier is when people are too extreme in their positions and they refuse to come to a compromise or a middle ground or any form of empathy or not trying to see things from the other person's perspective. That is something that irks me very much. Sometimes I might do something about it, sometimes I don't, but that's normally what angers me.
Wonderful. Last question. If somebody goes to Mexico, what is the dish that they should order that is the taste of Mexico, or the something that it's not a touristy thing, but something that would be like, this is what Mexican cuisine is all about?
Oh, wow. I think that that would depend a lot on what it is that they like to eat. I myself, for instance, am a vegetarian. So, for instance, something that I love to eat are any of the many dishes that involve tortillas in some form and cheese in some form. So, for instance, I might choose sopes, which would be like small tortillas topped with refried beans and cheese. They're very tasty, or quesadillas in many different styles, which are quite different from the ones that you might find in the US. You would be surprised, they're quite a different type of food. Or any kind of really, actually, I haven't had any of those in a while, carb counting and such. But really, I mean, for people that are not on keto, definitely you should try those, or at least replicate them at home. Not too difficult to do. All you need to do is buy some form of corn-based starchy Mexican, let's say, vehicle, be it a tortilla, be it a sope, be it anything of that nature, and some cheese. There are many wonderful Mexican cheeses. Some are melty, some are not, and that's basically what I would recommend.
Fantastic. Sandy Rodriguez, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate you sharing both sharing your expertise, sharing your experience, and sharing of yourself. For all my listeners, I appreciate you being here. Check out Sandy's book. If you are interested in being part of her video series, check that out as well. In the meantime, I will remind all of us that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.